Blog Talk Radio.
Hi folks, it's Chris Daly, and along with my partner Janice Maxwell, we always bring you interesting Jamaicans making a difference and an impact in the world. And do we have a great person for you tonight? We'll be dialoguing with Carl A. Mitchell. He was born in Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica, and he is a historical novelist. This brother has lots of degrees. He has a bachelor's degree, two master's degree, and he's a doctoral candidate. He lives in New York, and he works as a consultant, a lecturer, an author, and an entrepreneur. Carl has this great new book. It's called Africa Struggle. It's an experimental journey. It's a story of a young boy taken from Africa as a slave in the 18th century to become a world leader. His encounter shaped Africa's view of the world as it is and informed his vision as to how the world should be. Consequently, as his understanding of politics and philosophy grows, and so does his involvement in the revolution of the United States, France, and Haiti, who does have their independence 2 days ago. To do the interview would be Janice. Janice, take it away.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, Carl.
Carl, yes,
how's everything going?
So far, so good.
Help us to help our audience to understand where you developed your framework, and please share a little about you being raised in Jamaica and your family's influence.
Certainly. Well, I'm an 80s kid who was inspired by the Afrocentric currents overflowing the black consciousness during the mid to late 80s. As a 15-year-old, I wrote a short story for an English honors course at the illustrious Eastside High School, the same high school depicted in the classic film Lean on Me. The short story became my first chapter of the book in 2006 at the urging of colleagues. I had 9 more chapters to turn the short story into a novel. I decided to publish it in July 2015. As it pertains to being raised in Jamaica, I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. However, I spent a pivotal 7 years with my paternal grandparents. The book is dedicated to them, the late Austin George Mitchell and the late Mary Louise Mitchell in Yorkton, St. Catherine, from approximately 7 years old to approximately 14 years old. As it pertains to my family influence, I have to credit my paternal grandfather, whose paternal grandfather was born and raised as a Jamaican Maroon in Portland, Jamaica. Here's an anecdote. I have only seen my paternal grandfather cry thrice. The third time he cried when I was returning to Kingston to live with my reconciled parents. He didn't want me to leave his home. The second time he cried when my paternal grandmother was away, visiting my eldest paternal aunt for 6 months in the United States. The first time he cried was when he was watching Roots on television, and he was bitterly upset. He was angry, but he said not, if you know what I mean. I used to watch the Roots series at his feet. I still wonder how his time living in New Mexico, USA, for 10 years in the early 20th century shaped his view of Roots.
That's interesting. Your rich diversity in business world would seem to eclipse your writing. How do you discover and develop this gift?
I've been writing since I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm also a published poet, and I have won a few literary awards since I was 15 years old also.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, your book, it takes us on a time travel back to the 18th century, you know, and the height of slavery era. So how do you go about choosing such a context, you know, the time period of context?
I chose that time period for the same reason, in that it was the height of the slavery era. It fits very well into my storyline. And as a history buff, I wanted the book to give the reader a look at the 18th century,
slave trade, as well as to give them a perspective that many readers probably would not have on the revolutions of the period.
Yeah, I see. So what is the theme you hope to convey to the reader in this really fine work?
Yes, history teaches us that nothing in life is impossible. The great general Hannibal, B.C. 247 to 182, stated, "We will either find a way or make one."
Quite true, especially coming from a an immigrant perspective. We get an opportunity, we're going to create something out of it. You know, the book opens with sibling rivalry. Was that the tone of the book? And how would it end in rivalry, you know, like race, family, country?
Yes, that was the tone of the book. I mean, there are rivalries between siblings, families, clans, tribes, cities, nations, and people throughout history, and of course, even to today.
Yeah. And you find, though, and you do find that in a lot of the books that you read, classics that you were required to read, and you notice that's a lot. Even the Bible, Cain and Abel, it's always sibling rivalry. So that is a good point. The tribal names that were used, are they authentic, or did you use some creative license?
The latter, creative license.
I was wondering about that. I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah, creative license,
And this will follow up right into the next question. It's like one of the characters, Kunu Wanoki, was a war profiteer, right?
Yeah.
So how do these characters map out the into a contemporary setting?
Well, according to the ancient Latin phrase, qui bono, you know, is a burning question throughout history, right, until today as it pertains to war. I mean, who benefits? You know, there will always be a war profiteer.
Yeah.
Won't it?
Yeah. And you can see that now in today's world. I mean, you're constantly war after war, but unnecessary wars, but somebody has to make a buck. And
yes,
there's a lot of money to be made in war. People just don't realize. The bankers and the people who are promoting the war realize that, you know. There's a lot of creative license, okay? And I remember when I read this, I just started laughing, right? Because I saw the name Clarence Thomas Elliott. And I'm like, what? Was that levity for the audience or some other signal for the readers to interpret? Because I just started laughing when I read that.
A little of both. You know, I assume that my readers are familiar with Uncle Tom's Cabin. May I say more? Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Yeah, but anyway, let me stop myself.
Yeah, that's when I was like, whoa. I mean, your audience are really going to, the people who read this book, I think they'll really appreciate it, you know, because it's coming at you from so many angles. You know.
Yeah. And if you notice, if you notice too, Clarence Thomas Elliott at the time was given a name while he was in Georgia. Georgia,
yeah.
United States. And
because he's from Pinpoint, Georgia.
And the U.S. Supreme Court,
that's right.
Justice Clarence Thomas is also from Georgia. But
Pinpoint, Georgia. You know, okay, so like in Jamaican history, we do have a lot of rebellious slaves, okay? One of the particular slaves was called Three Finger Jack. Who he was, and he was also the first fugitive in Jamaica to have a bounty on him of an excess of 300 pounds, and we're talking in the 1800s, so 300 pounds, that's, I don't know, 300,000 in today's standards, 3 million, placed on his head. Nevertheless, you mentioned him as a loyal Mason. Why was his character's image altered, or what was that supposed someone else with that name?
the former. You know, I borrowed his namesake for my book's character. However, I first came across the Jamaican three-finger Jack while I was in primary school in Jamaica. And, of course, I'm very, to this day, still riveted by his story, a very good story, and how, of course, he died for his cause and so forth. Yeah, very good story. But it was borrowed in this case for a character in my book.
Okay, I was curious about that. Do you see this being a sequel?
This is a very good question. No. Currently, I'm working hard on putting Africa's struggle as experiential journey on film, as the saying goes, in a theater near you. I'm already playing. I'm already playing the soundtrack album in my head, actually. Believe it or not, I already composed two complete books in my head since I was 15 years old. One has a futuristic sci-fi storyline, while the other has an American Western storyline. That said, my fans are urging me to work on Africa Struggle 2. So I am still trying to... that's basically in line. I'm planning for that, yes.
Wow. So how can one get a copy of your fine work?
Yeah, please visit www.carl-mitchell.com for updates on my book. You will be able to purchase its print copy, digital copy, and audio copy. Check out the audio sample via said website. As already noted in the beginning of the interview, the book is interesting, giving the reader a look at the 18th century slave trade, as well as a perspective that many readers probably would not have on the revolutions of the period.
Yeah, I think they'd really appreciate it, because it just comes from so many different angles, you know, especially right now. So do you have any parting wisdom as how to leverage and take away of this work to improve our circumstances?
Simple. Let's look to the book's theme. History teaches us that nothing in life is impossible, as noted earlier in the interview. You know, and again, as the great General Hannibal, B.C. 247 to 182 stated, we will either find a way or make one. And if you look today to the U.S. and around the world, but in U.S. in particular, you know, we still need that advice, unfortunately.
Quite true. So, to learn more about Jamaican diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. To learn more about Chris Daly, visit Digital to Grow Media. And to learn more about Carl Mitchell, visit Carl-Mitchell.com. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Bye now.
Thank you.